I'm going to have you do something I do quite often, but it's the truth. I want you to pick your favorite person around you and say this to them. Tell them, God actually loves you too much to leave you the way you are. Do you believe that? Now, I'm going to ask you to do something else that people hate it when pastors ask them to do. This is big. So here's the deal. Hosts on the doors, I want you to bar the doors right now so nobody can leave. All right? So I'm going to invite everyone in the room here to stand. Will you stand? I'm going to invite those of you watching online to do this with us as well. Stand up right where you are. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to take 30 seconds, gather up all your stuff, and I want you to move and sit somewhere else. 30 seconds of chaos. Go. Let's have you do it right there at home. You can do it as well. Sit on the other end of the couch. Sit in a different chair. Join us with this. You should see it in this room. It's mayhem. It's craziness. Now, when you get to your new seat, don't sit down. Stay standing. When you get to your new seat, stay standing. Woo! Say, Pastor Duane, you're using up all your relational capital in one shot, making us do all these things we don't enjoy. I want you to open your Bible because I want you standing and I want you engaged with me when we read the Word together. So grab your Bible, turn on your phone, turn on your Bible app if that's what you're going to do. If you don't have those, you'll see it on the screens in front of you. You'll see it on the bottom of the screen there at home. So we're going to look at Acts chapter 8, and I want us to look at this passage together, and I want you to put yourself in the middle of it. I want you to imagine you're part of this. We need a little light, okay? We need a little light in the room. We can help you with that. We can do that. Acts chapter 8. I appreciate that. I need light up here too. We're good. Acts chapter 8. There you go. It's coming. It's coming. Y'all are good looking, by the way. You know that? Yeah, you are. Acts chapter 8, beginning in verse 26. Here is what the Bible says. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, or Candace, which means queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way back home, he was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. Then Philip ran up to the chariot, and he heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you're reading? Philip asked. How can I, he said, unless someone explains it to me. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This is the passage of scripture the eunuch was reading. Quote, he was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth, end quote. The eunuch said to Philip, tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news of Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, look, here is water. What can stand in the way of me being baptized? And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. May God add his blessing and our understanding to his word. Amen? High five someone before you sit down and say, that's the way it's supposed to work. Today we are finishing this brief series called Shaking Off the Summer Slump. Pastor Matt started this 2 weeks ago. He talked about shaking off the summer slump in our prayer life, and he gave us some tools to help with that. Last week was about connecting in community more deeply and more fully, and we have ways to do that. Even today, as you leave here, you can talk with group leaders out in the foyer and find a small group. We really urge you to do that. Today, in this final of this little three-part message series, my assignment for you today is to shake off the summer slump and focus on influencing your world for Jesus. Influencing your world for Jesus. Now, this is really important that we do this. And I want to ask a question. How many here, first of all, let me just hear you. How many of you have been saved by the blood of Jesus? You are born again. Let me just hear you. Amen. Amen. I want you to think back to what it was like the day you got saved. Think back to that moment when you received Jesus as your Savior. And help me out here. What are some of the adjectives? What would you say? What did you feel in that moment? Let me hear you. Freedom. Grace. Overflowing love. Relief. What? Forgiveness. Joy. Love. All these wonderful feelings that we experienced when we accepted Christ as Savior. And it's no wonder. I want to remind you real quickly exactly what was happening in that moment. Jesus taught in John chapter 16, he said, the Holy Spirit works in our lives. He convicts, he convinces us of sin in our own lives. He convinces us of the righteousness of God, of our own unrighteousness, and that judgment is rightly ours in the future to face judgment. The Holy Spirit is working and convincing, hovering over the chaos of our sinful lives, just like Genesis chapter 1, hovering over the chaos of the pre-created world. But that's not all that's happening. Jesus taught in John chapter 6, he said, no one comes to me unless the Father in heaven draws him to me. So not only is the Holy Spirit convincing us of our sin, the Father in heaven is drawing us to his Son, Jesus. And in that moment, when you say yes to salvation, calling on the name of Jesus, the Bible says it this way. The Bible says in 1 John, it says that he takes and applies spiritually the blood that he spilled at Calvary. He applies that to your heart and to my heart and washes away our sin and makes us new. Isn't that awesome in that moment? So Jesus is at work. The blood is washing us clean, but that's not all. The Bible says this. Jesus imparts, he deposits the Holy Spirit, the person of the Spirit, into our lives so that our dead spirit comes to life. We become born again, alive in Christ because the Holy Spirit is imparted to us. Can I get an amen? Do you know why you feel so good when you're saved? The Godhead is at work in saving us. All of it, working together, unity, beautiful picture of the Godhead at work at salvation. No wonder we feel so good. All that weight of sin and shame and guilt and fear are gone from our lives. You just want to tell everybody about it, you know? Man, it's wonderful. This is how we are to live. You know, when we have that moment of salvation, it reminds me that the same kind of thing happened with the disciples. In fact, if you go back just a couple of pages to John chapter 20, I want to show you that moment in the disciples' life. The Bible says in John chapter 20, Jesus has resurrected from the dead, but most of the disciples haven't seen him yet. And in John chapter 20, they're hidden away. They're afraid of the Jewish leaders. They're afraid of what's going to happen. And Jesus appears to them. You remember this? Jesus appears to them in this room. And he says, peace to you. And then in John chapter 20, beginning in verse 21, let's pick up there. It says this. Again, Jesus said, peace be with you. This is important. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. Now there's context. And then look what happened. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. He breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. I believe what you're seeing in this moment is the salvation moment under the new covenant in the blood of Jesus of the disciples. This is when they became saved just like you and me. And I believe in that moment when the Holy Spirit took up residence in their heart. Listen, they were already clean. Jesus had previously taught them. He said, the word I've spoken to you has made you clean. But there's this new and better way now that there's this relationship with the Father through me. And he deposits, he breathes the Holy Spirit into their lives. And man, they're feeling it. Man, they're thinking to themselves, it was good when Jesus was with us. It's better now, the Holy Spirit within us. It's this amazing moment when the Holy Spirit comes in and they are reborn. Listen, here's the point. You can't be saved without receiving the person of the Holy Spirit into your life. That is what saves us. The Lord deposits. He washes us clean of our sins. That's what Jesus does. And he deposits the Holy Spirit. And your dead spirit, dead in sin, is made alive, brand new, through the work of the Holy Spirit. What joy that brings. I remember when I got saved, man, I wanted to tell everybody. I remember as a kid, you know, in fact, I grew up in the church, so I got saved like 15 times, you know, throughout my childhood. You learn a little more and a little more, you know. But I remember going to school one day. It was in about fourth or fifth grade. And I remember telling my friends, you know, in the row next to me, I got saved last night. They looked at me like I was from Mars, man. Got saved from what? You want to tell people about what's happened. So is that what happened with the disciples? Did they immediately go out and start telling people? Of course not. That's not what happened, is it? In fact, the Bible says something else happened with them. They didn't go and do that. In fact, the Bible says at one point, Peter went back fishing. Peter was like, you know, let's go fishing. The Lord is with us off and on. So go back to Acts chapter 1. I want to show you what was going on right after this. And now there's a lot of scripture in here today. Are you with me? I hope you're awake. I hope you're with me. Acts chapter 1. Listen, here's what the Bible tells us was happening. The Bible says that for 40 days, Jesus taught the disciples. He spent time with them, and he was teaching them and instructing them. And then in verse 4, Acts chapter 1, it says, on one occasion, while Jesus was eating with them, he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the, what? The gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Jump down to verse 8. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Some amazing instruction that Jesus has given them. This is what's getting ready to happen in the disciples' life. Now go to Acts chapter 2, because we get to see that happen. We get to see this moment that took place. It happened on the day of Pentecost, which was a festival, a Jewish festival, that was actually a celebration of the first fruits. And it makes a lot of sense God would do that, because these are going to be the first fruits of the church being birthed. Listen, it says this in Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. Now, let's stop there for just a moment. Let's do a little comparison. Think back to John chapter 20. What does it say happened in that moment? What did Jesus do? It says he breathed on them. Just breathe in. I'm going to get you to breathe out. Don't look at your neighbor, because you might have coffee breath. I don't want to offend anybody, you know. So just kind of breathe in and just breathe out. You know, that the Jewish word for that, for breath, is ruah. It's also the word for spirit. Why? Because it sounds the same. Jesus breathed on them. But in Acts chapter 2, something unique is happening. Now, there's the sound of a breath of wind? No. It says, there came the sound like a mighty, violent, blowing wind. What I'm saying is, it's the same, but it's different. It's the same substance, but there's something unique. There's something different happening here. The Bible says in Acts chapter 2, they heard this sound like a blowing violent wind that filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. There is this incredible empowerment of the Holy Spirit happening in this moment. And for you and me, we recognize this is the birth of the modern church. This is the birth of the New Testament church. It's what you and I are part of today. This is where it started. We get to walk in the heritage of this, and it came in the power of the Holy Spirit. Powerful moment. So what happened next? You know what happened next? from that point on, those disciples were like they were shot out of a cannon. I mean, there was no holding them back at that point. The Bible says just a few verses later in verse 14, Peter stood up to speak to all these people who were gathered in that moment and witnessed it. And the Bible says he preached so good, 3,000 people said yes to Jesus Christ. This is the same guy that wouldn't even admit that he knew Christ sitting around a campfire just about 14 days earlier. He's empowered by the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that the fellowship of the believers deepened like it had never been before because the power of the Holy Spirit was among them. They were doing signs and wonders. And even when persecution broke out in Acts chapter 7, they trumped up charges against Stephen and they ended up killing him and martyring him. The Bible says the church scattered and they told the gospel, the good news of Jesus, everywhere they went. That is what the power of the Holy Spirit will do in the life of a believer if you will let him work in you and work through you. God, we need your power. Lives transformed everywhere they go. The point is this. The point I'm trying to make is this. Jesus had told them, I'm sending you, John chapter 20, receive the Holy Spirit, but don't go yet because there's more you need. You need power. Listen, you need this empowering. And think about it. Acts 1:8, remember what he said. You will receive power to do something? No. Power to witness? No. Power to do this? No. Power to be. Power to become something that you're not right now. Power to become something more. You're going to become my witnesses. I'm going to transform who you are, how you live, and you're going to become something that you weren't until this moment of empowering by the Holy Spirit. This is why we need the Holy Spirit's work in our life. The Holy Spirit empowers us to become witnesses for Christ. That's what he wants to do for you and me. That's the best reason to seek the baptism of the Holy Spirit. God, I want to be a more effective witness. I want to be a more powerful witness for you. So how does he do this? How does the Holy Spirit accomplish this in our lives? I want you to think about his name. First of all, he is the Holy Spirit, the sanctifying Spirit. He is the Spirit that gives us power to overcome sin in our lives. He gives us freedom to overcome those besetting sins in our life. He enables us, listen, to live a more consistently godly life so that our message lines up with the way we live, with our method, with the way that we act. This is really important for us too. You know, there's a movement over, gosh, probably the last 20 years. Sometimes it's referred to as a hyper grace movement where it's like God's grace it's all God's grace and we're only saved by God's grace. And that's absolutely true. We've seen it's the Godhead working in us that saves us, that holds us, that keeps us. Yes. But part of that emphasis of all grace is that it doesn't really matter how you live. I'm here to tell you, friends, it does matter how you and I live. We are to be holy, set apart to be useful to God. And when you and I refuse to do that, we undermine our own faith even when we pray. If I know that I'm holding sin in my life, if I'm holding something back from surrender to God, I know that in my life it undermines my ability to really believe, is God going to answer this prayer for me? In fact, David said it this way in Psalm 66. He said, if I had harbored sin, if I had treasured sin in my heart, you would not have heard my prayers, God. So it matters how we live. He's a Holy Spirit. He wants you and me to live holy lives. And when that happens, as he sanctifies us, makes us more and more like Jesus every day, then we have a consistency about our lives, and he adds a power, an effectiveness to our ability to tell others about Jesus. It doesn't mean we use big words. It doesn't mean that those kinds of things fundamentally change. In fact, the most powerful messages I've ever said and were the simplest messages I ever heard, but they were so anointed with the power of the Holy Spirit, I couldn't stop weeping. Oh, that's what I pray for. Lord, that kind of anointing, that kind of presence of the Holy Spirit in what is being shared and said. This is how you and I can be most effective, now listen, in influencing our culture, influencing those around us for the kingdom of God. It's if we are in step with the Holy Spirit. Are we being led by the Holy Spirit. He is this empowering Spirit. Now buckle up, some of you, because I'm going to say something that might ruffle a few feathers, okay? Here it is. When you were saved, you got the whole person of the Holy Spirit. He came in. You didn't just get part of him. You didn't get a little of him. You got the Holy Spirit. And that's the only way we're saved, right? We've been over that. But now listen. You did not get every experience with the Holy Spirit that God intends for you to have all at once. Do you see the difference? He's in there. He lives within you. He's what's bringing you to life. He's keeping you alive, the Bible says. Spiritually, he keeps you in step with God. But that doesn't mean you got every experience that God intends for you to have with the Holy Spirit all at one time. Let me say it this way. My wife and I have been married for 35 years. That's a long time. Especially being married to me. Now, men, you're going to be able to relate to what I say here a lot. So that day, 35 years ago, when she married me, she didn't get all of this. She did got a little taste of this, right? I mean, she didn't even know what was coming, right? Some of you ladies, my wife's probably thinking, yeah, I didn't know the bathroom could be wrecked like that. Yeah, I didn't know you'd sit around your boxers watching TV. You're right, I didn't get all that. Just try to get those images out of your mind now. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have even said that. The point is, I don't want you to get huffy about, well, are you saying I didn't get all the Holy Spirit? I only got part of it and there's more. I don't want you to get huffy. I want you to get hungry. I want you to get hungry for more of God. I want you to be hungry for more of Him. I want your attitude to be, God, if it's you, I want it. God, if it's you, if it's you working, if it's you doing something in my life, if it's you doing something, I want it. I'm open. If it's baptism of the Holy Spirit, whatever you say, Lord, if it's you, I'm open to it. I want more of you. Why? Because lost people need to come in contact with God. And you're the way God has chosen for that to happen. I appreciate the word we heard at the gifts mic today. When we walk out of here, if we don't care more about people who are not Christians yet, we've missed the mark. God wants you and me to be living epistles, living letters read and seen by men. This is the empowerment that God wants. Now listen, it's not only because he wants us to live a more holy life. That's very important. It's not only because he wants us to be more effective in witnesses. Listen, as witnesses, listen, this is really important. I hope you're taking notes. Just write this word down. So much of our being used by the Holy Spirit has to do with proximity. It has to do with our location. Where are we? Where are we positioned? You see, the Holy Spirit will position you and me where the need is found. The Holy Spirit will position you and me where the greatest opportunity for God's glory to be displayed is present. Because that's what he's all about. Let's glorify God. It has to do with proximity. So what I'm saying is, that, listen, it happened with these disciples. It happened in Acts chapter 3, right after that day of Pentecost. The Bible says that John and Peter were walking in the gate of the temple, and they come across a crippled beggar, and they heal him. They were in the right place, the right moment. Acts chapter 5, it says that the apostles did amazing signs and wonders among the people. And then, you and I just read one of the best examples in Acts chapter 8. And I want to just highlight a couple quick things there. Back in Acts chapter 8, I want you to see the Holy Spirit at work. Look at what the scripture said about Philip. First of all, it says in Acts chapter 8, in that very first verse that we read, verse 26, an angel of the Lord, which is another way of saying the Spirit of God, said to Philip, go to this particular road. Go to this road that leads south, that goes to Gaza. Showed him exactly what road to get on. And then go further down. Verse 29, it says the Spirit told Philip, you see that chariot? Go stand next to that chariot. Philip walks up and he hears him reading Isaiah. Philip not only hears the words of Isaiah being read, he also, I believe, hears a door opening for the gospel in that moment. This is it. This is my opportunity. And Philip jumps on it, tells him the good news about Jesus. Obviously, the guy accepts it. The guy receives it. Why? Because it just so happens, read a little further, they just happened, somebody reminded me in the first service, along this desert road that they come to enough water where they can be, he can be baptized. And so they get off the chariot, they baptize him. And then the scripture that we finished reading with says that in the moment when they came out of it, the Spirit whisked Philip away somehow and took him somewhere else, and the eunuch never even saw him again. I don't know what that's like. It's like being beamed up on the Enterprise or something, man. That would be so cool to have that happen. But how awesome. Do you see how the Holy Spirit was leading Philip every step along the way for greatest impact? That is what it looks like to be used by God. When you and I can do what Paul would teach about in Galatians chapter 5, keeping in step with the Spirit, he will position us exactly where he wants us to be, the greatest place of influence, the greatest place of bringing glory to God, the greatest place of our usefulness to God, learning to keep in step with the Holy Spirit. Now look, your experiences, they may not be quite as dramatic as Philip's, but you know what the Bible says will happen with you and me? It even talked about this in the Old Testament. Prophetically, we will hear a still, quiet voice speaking to us and saying, do this, go that way, make this change. And if we listen to that voice, if we obey that voice, we will discover on the other end of that, God was in that voice. God was speaking. It may even sound like your own voice in your own head, but it'll be things that you would not have naturally thought of. Or it might even be things that stretch you, that challenge you, that force you out of where you are. And so you humbly submit to that and you say, God, I'm just going to take you at your word. I'm going to do what you tell me to do. Having the empowering of the Holy Spirit is the best way you and I can influence those around us for the kingdom of God. It's the best thing we can do. It's the best we have. We hear his voice and we obey. Some of you might say, well, Pastor, I'm all for obeying God, but I don't know what to say. Like, I wouldn't even know what to say to somebody, how to tell them about Christ. Did you know that Jesus covered that? Jesus promised, he said, the Holy Spirit not only does all these other things, he will remind you of all of my words. Oh, he'll remind you. That means you and I, we got to be getting the word in us. You're getting Jesus's word. And the Holy Spirit at the right moment will remind us. In fact, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, when you're called before kings and governors, don't worry about what you're going to say. In the moment, you will be given the words. See, what I'm saying is step out in faith, obey the Lord, and watch this. He will fill your day with opportunities, and he will fill your mouth with the right words. You just got to trust him. You got to step out and obey. Now, let me kind of circle back here for just a minute. Why are you sitting where you're sitting right now? Why are you sitting? You made me go there. I love that. Right? Each of you did something this morning when you heard my voice. For those of you who moved, you heard my voice, you understood it, and you exerted energy to do something with it, right? But now listen, here's what you had to do. If you moved, this is so important, you had to overcome the inertia of your comfort to obey me. Overcome the inertia of your comfort. What does that mean, Pastor Dwayne? You know what that means? That means I like where I am. I'm comfortable. I can see what I want to see. It feels good. I don't think I'm going to move. But overcoming it means, no, no, no. I heard a voice. I'm going to step out and obey it. For those of you that are sitting in a different chair today, you did that. Now, for those of you that did not move, I'm looking right down here, brother. No, listen, no shame. But let's talk about it. You did something with my voice also. You responded in one of three ways, probably. Either one, you didn't move because you didn't understand what I was asking. That's kind of unlikely. I talk pretty plain, but that's okay. That could have happened. Secondly, you may have excused yourself from it, saying, oh, he's talking to everybody else. He doesn't really mean me. Doesn't really mean everyone. I have this issue and I can't move, and that may be true. Or three, you just ignored it. So which is it? The reason I ask that question is because the answer to that question is likely, those responses are likely the same ways we will respond to the Holy Spirit when he speaks to our lives. I either don't understand it, or I think, he don't mean me. He means somebody else should do that. By the way, pastors really love that. Let me tell you, when you come and you got a word from God about a new ministry that should start, but it's not you, it's somebody else, don't do that. Just don't do it, okay? Don't bother. Or three, the Holy Spirit speaks, and we just ignore it. That's called being in a slump spiritually. And after a while, we harden our hearts, and it becomes hard to even recognize the voice of the Spirit. In fact, I heard it said this way one time. Some people are asking, God, why don't you speak to me? And the answer I heard somebody give one time was, God doesn't waste his breath on people who are only going to maybe consider doing what he wants them to do. He's going to speak to those who have already decided beforehand, when I know it's his voice, I'm going to say yes. No matter what. No matter what. The Holy Spirit will position you exactly where he wants you to be, but we have to say yes. We have to overcome the inertia of our comfort. I want to give you four very practical steps. It'll take about a minute and 30 seconds to give you all four of them, and then we're going to close the service. Four practical steps that you can take today. You can begin right now. To become more sensitive to the Holy Spirit so that you can influence your world for Jesus most effectively. Number one is this: go after God. Just go after God. Go after more of God. Seek more of God. If it's you, God, I want it. If it's you, I want it. If it's spirit baptism, Lord, I don't even have to understand what it means. Do you know that the disciples didn't know what they were waiting for, really, in Acts chapter 2? They just knew they were supposed to go, so they went, and what happened? Their world was blown up in a great way. You don't have to understand it all. Just go after God. He wants you to work and live in the overflow. Did you see the baptism, the water baptisms happening last Sunday? I happened to be watching when the first one was done, and Pastor Matt put that man down in the water, and all this water went whoosh. I mean, just came pouring out. I told somebody, I said, we're in the splash zone. We better move, right? I thought, man, there's not going to be enough water left for everybody else to get baptized after that. What I love about that is the picture of that. That's what spirit baptism is. It's being fully immersed in the Holy Spirit, allowing him to fill us to overflowing so that we live in such a way that there is this spillover of the person of the Holy Spirit that touches the lives of people all around us. That's what it looks like. Go after God. If it's you, God, I want it. Secondly, I want to encourage you, intentionally come in contact with pre-Christians. Intentionally. Come in contact with pre-Christians. Put yourself in the room. That means going, that means stepping out. Listen, I'll tell you something else. I'm getting old. My wife and I just started playing pickleball. Man, it's fun. But I'll tell you what happened. I went to one place, and in the next day, they had name tags for us. They were texting us, "You gonna play tomorrow? You gonna?" I mean, like, we had 50 friends. It was a little scary at first, actually. But no, it wasn't. They were awesome. They were wonderful. What I'm saying is, join the PTA. Join your homeowners association. Whatever it is, begin to put yourself into the realm of pre-Christians so that you can begin to have influence as a member of the body of Christ, and the Holy Spirit begin to just impact others around you. You and I have to choose to do it. Yes, get out of your comfort zone and trust Him. Step into those moments. God wants to use you there. And it's so important because, well, I'll share that in a minute. Thirdly, practice telling your story. Just practice it. It should take no more than 30 seconds. Just tell your story. Be able to tell your story in 30 seconds. What do I mean? I'm saying, you can say it this way: before, how, and now. You can say, here's what life was like before Jesus. I was full of anxiety or fear or worry or whatever your story is. How? This is how I came to know Christ. A friend invited me to a small group, and they started talking about Jesus and how He'll never fail and how He'll encourage you. And I invited Jesus into my life, and He's changed my life. And so now, what is your life like different? How is it different now? Now it's like, I still have worries. There's still things that concern me, but I've realized I can trust Jesus. He's brought me through every one, and He's gonna keep doing it. So my fear is not the same kind of fear anymore. I have a trust in God. I've learned how to release it to Him. And He's revolutionized my life. Do you see how easy that is? Before, how, and now. Practice it. Be able to tell it in 30 seconds. And then lastly, practice telling God's story. Practice telling the gospel, the good news of Jesus. What does that look like? What? Look how easy this is. God created the world and everything was perfect. And then mankind decided to disobey God. That's called sin. And when mankind did that, death and disease, all the bad stuff entered into the world. And there was no way that mankind could fix the relationship between him and God anymore. Only God could fix it. And that's what God did. He sent his son, Jesus, to pay the penalty for our sins so that now through Jesus, we can have relationship with God the Father. That's the good news of Jesus. That's it. That was less than 30 seconds. Practice telling it. Friends, if you're going to influence your world for Jesus Christ, you need to be more and more surrendered to the work and the person of the Holy Spirit in you and through you. Do your part and trust Him to do His part. And here's why. Listen, I said at the beginning, and I say this often, but I said at the beginning, God loves you too much to what? To leave you the way you are? Guess what? God loves pre-Christians too much to leave you where you are. He is sending you. Just like He told the disciples that day in John chapter 20, I'm sending you just as the Father sent me. Receive the Holy Spirit. But be empowered. Wait until you're empowered. Am I saying you have to wait till a special moment in your life? No. I'm saying go, because most of us discover when we really go after God is when we really need Him. So you put yourself in the position, put yourself around pre-Christians, lean into the Lord and watch Him use you to reach them. Stand with me today. Standing with me, that is not code for grab your purse and get ready to leave. That's code for we're about to do some deep business with God in the last couple of moments here. While you're still looking at me, I want to ask this question. How many of you today, for those of us that know Jesus, have a born-again relationship with Jesus, just felt a quickening in my spirit that there are some of us here today that it's been a long time since we thought back to that day we first accepted Christ. And that may have been the most important thing for you to do today. It's because you realize you've lost your first love. That passion for Jesus. That joy of how the Godhead worked to save you. Friends, if we lose that, we're never having an impact on the world. Some of us today realize we need to get that back. We need to do what the Apostle Paul told them, the church of Ephesus, what the Spirit of Christ told the church in Revelation chapter 2, the church of Ephesus. You've lost your first love. So without your heads bowed, but your eyes just looking at me, I'm going to ask today, for those of you that are believers, how many of you would say, Pastor Dwayne, this has challenged me. I need to get back to my first love. I need to rekindle a passion for Jesus in my life. I need to go after God like I've not gone after him in a long time. If that's you, just raise your hands right where you are and keep them up. Yeah, keep them up. Come on. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Friends, Jesus promised. He said, those that are hungry will not go away unfed. The thirsty will be filled. The hungry will be full. So God, I pray for everyone who's raised their hands. Maybe there were some that were intimidated to raise their hands. God, I simply pray that, Lord, you would empower us, that you would open our hearts to break afresh and anew with the good news of the gospel, even in our own lives. Help us to be hungry for more of you. And help us to be open, Lord. If that's seeking the baptism of the Holy Spirit, this new, the second experience with the Holy Spirit, God, whatever it is, if it's God, I want it. Let that be our mantra, Lord, and that we go after you. We go after you in a fresh way. I ask you, God, to give these folks who are responding right now, give them grace to take steps to rekindle their first love for you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Now, while your heads are still bowed and your eyes are closed, I want to give an opportunity. If you're here today and you've not accepted Jesus as your Savior, you've not experienced this, the Godhead working in your life the way we have discussed it. But here's the thing. If you today sense the Lord drawing you to Jesus, that's the Father. That's the love of the Father drawing you. The Holy Spirit is hovering over you right now, and he's saying, come home, come home. If that's you today, heads bowed, eyes closed, will you raise your hand very quickly? I'll acknowledge it, and we're going to pray together. Don't wait. Don't delay. Yes, thank you. There on the floor. I see you. Yeah. Come on, somebody else. Yes, thank you. Others up in the balcony. Thank you, Lord. Come on, I'm just scanning. Don't wait. Listen, here's what the Bible says. 2 Corinthians 6 says, today is the day of the Lord. Today is the day of salvation. If the Lord is drawing you to himself, that's God doing it. That's not you making a simple decision. We're dead. We are dead in our sins. We can't do anything for ourselves. It's God drawing us to himself. Anyone else in addition to these two? Don't delay. Come on. You're not joining a church. You're becoming the church. You're becoming something you weren't when you walked in. All right, church family, let's pray this together with those that are praying this in their heart. Whether you raised your hand or not, if you just mean it in your heart, truly, God will meet you right there. Will you just pray with me? Lord Jesus, I believe you're the one and only Son of God. You came and died on the cross and paid the penalty for my sins. You rose again 3 days later. And you're knocking on the door of my heart right now. I say, yes, come in. Forgive me of my sin. Wash me clean with your blood. Holy Spirit, I invite you to take up residence within me. And I receive the Spirit of salvation. Today in my life, I am new. I am fresh because of what God has done. You are my Savior, Jesus. I accept you as my Lord and the leader of my life. Now fill me with your Spirit and use me for your glory. I pray this in Jesus' name. Say amen, which means so be it. Can we rejoice together? Can we rejoice? Hallelujah.